Mondays on the F&M Bank phone line. Teresa Walker, the Associated Press. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning. How are we doing this fine day?
We're fired up, man. We're ready for game one. Great playoff games over the weekend. And so, yeah, we're shot out of a cannon this morning.
Yeah, I mean, limit four games already, three overtimes, mm-hmm. and then Tampa Bay, Florida, 5-4. So, yeah.
And it scored in the final, 114?
Yep.
Yeah. Goal scored with that one. So, yeah, welcome to the playoffs. And game one tonight in Carolina, and guys, they had to match what Nashville did. They had to get some more people in their building because they were afraid of their fans being, you know, fan support not matching what Smashville brings. So I'm assuming that's a big challenge to the folks who will be in the building Friday night for game three and then Sunday on game four. So, you know, they're afraid of you. Be ready. Be loud.
Yeah, and Brendan Moore kind of referred to that. He seemed a little concerned about that. I think he's concerned about a lot of things in this series because – I said this earlier. I think Brendan Moore really feels and knows I got to hold serve in these first two games because it's a whole nother ball game when we get to Nashville.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. You know, while there's so many people picking against the Predators, I mean, I went on, I think it was The Athletic, and pretty much there were a lot of people picking a sweep by the Carolina Hurricanes, which
that ain't
is like, okay, did you not see what the Predators did, you know, since the middle of March? I mean, they have been one of the hottest teams in the NHL. Now, you know, yes, feel free to be skeptical on needing to see them continue that into the postseason. But, you know, UC Saros is going to have a chance to prove that he's not the goalie who did not, you know, hit his save percentage last year in Arizona. He didn't do what Predator goalies are expected to do, which is stand tall in the net. And, you know, I know he's not as tall as Pekka, but, you know, be the guy that helps your team steal a win or two in the postseason. David Poile told us this on Friday that's the next standard. Saros has got to help them steal some wins and series in the postseason to be that guy that they need, to take over for Pekka Rinne. So pressure's on him, pressure's on the Predators. But, you know, I'm going to say this. I think the pressure's more on Carolina, a team that was in the run for the President's Trophy until the final week, and now they're facing one of the hottest teams in the NHL. So buckle up.
Yeah, no question about it. Teresa Walker is our guest from the AP. And we're also talking about this, T, just the fact that, you know, styles make fights, right? The Carolina Hurricanes are a physical team, but they're more about speed, getting up and down the ice and making things happen. You know, the Preds want to play physical against these guys because Carolina doesn't really want to play that style. They will if they have to, but, you know, I feel like if the Preds can establish the physicality in this series right away from the jump, it could make life difficult for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, this is where the herd line is going to, you know, pay dividends,
yeah.
You know, helping set that tone. I mean, those are the guys who kind of, you know, it's kind of crazy to say that about a fourth line, but they've come in with the way they hit, especially Tanner Jeannot. I mean, you know, he's out there like a tractor trailer looking to squash little shopping carts, it feels like at times. And, you know, the way, and Trennan and Sissons, you know, Sissons added a few pounds. Sissons has performed well in the postseason before. Right? You know, anyone remember game six, Anaheim Ducks, 2017? So, you know, this is a group that they can score, they can find the back of the net, and they can help set that tone, but it's going to have to filter through. You know, everybody's got to play that way, and John Hines has made it clear. You play that way, that we need you to play, or we'll find somebody else. And, you know, they got 34 guys to help choose from thanks to the taxi squad. And, you know, we've seen this team using a franchise record 12 rookies. You know, if a Duchesne and a Johansson, who've had success in the past against Carolina, if they're struggling or if it's somebody else, you know, guess what? John Hines is going to have options that you just don't have in normal years. So take advantage of the fact you've got that taxi squad and you've got those guys who are working and, more importantly, hungry to show what they can do.
T, what about Saros? You know, he was okay, I guess, last year against Arizona in the in the bubble series.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, okay, you're right, he wasn't. But he seems to really have turned it around, and the team has so much confidence in him right now, and for good reason. What are you expecting from him in this series?
Well, if he plays the way he's played since March 15th, when, you know, he's at the top of so many categories, you know, and he's literally saving them 2 to 3 goals per game that they should be giving up, if he plays like that, then they will have a chance to win this series. You know, and that's the key. So, you know, yes, they're going to need scoring from Forsberg, Duchesne, you know, you name it. Those guys have to produce. They have to show what they didn't show us during the regular season, right? The scoring that they did a week ago Monday for Johansson and Duchesne, hopefully that's just the start of something good. But the pressure's going to be on Saros. He's the one who's going to have to stand in that net and keep them in games and give them a chance to score late to win and try to get home ice advantage in this series. So, you know, if the goalie we've seen since March 15th is in there, now, you know, don't count the games. I think it was April 15th and 17th where the Hurricanes did beat the Predators pretty handily. And, you know, if the other team shows up, the one that played really well last Saturday and Monday night against the Canes, then, you know, Saros has to play that way for them to have a chance. And when you look at it, I mean, the fact that he's had so many games where he's allowed two or fewer goals, that's the guy they need because he didn't do that against Arizona last year. So, you know, and you know, there's been so much talk about how much he's grown this year, you know, having Pekka there kind of helping him understand better the, you know, how to handle that pressure day in, day out, the mental approach to the game. And John Hines has said he knows how to play the way Saros needs to play in net. He's not Pekka Rinne. You know, Pekka Rinne's got, what, 6 inches on him. So, and then you add the skates and everything. It's ridiculous. So he can't play that way. He now seems to be comfortable playing his way, you know, and his eyes are his best advantage, you know, being able to see that puck even through traffic. So I can't wait for this series because if that Saros shows up, then the Predators can feel really good about their chances to go out there and compete night in, night out.
Teresa Walker, follow on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker of the Associated Press. For this team, these teams that until this year, obviously they had to play each other, what, 8 times, but then over the years, very sparingly, never obviously met in the postseason. Mm-hmm. There sure is a lot of trash talking going on back and forth, but, and I love it.
It's great.
The fish throwing morons and the jerks and all of that stuff. I like the fact that there's some trash in here because, you know, obviously, you know, there is the proximity. I really wish they were in the keep these divisions all the time. I don't know if the Preds would want that, but because of the quality of the with those teams, but those things are cyclical. But anyway, I think this is a budding rivalry, even though it's not really have a lot of foundation except this year to be built on.
And that's the thing. I mean, this is the way it used to be, 30 years or so ago. And, you know, I was wondering too, Greg, about how much hate would be built up in 8 games. And considering Hurricanes won the first 6, and it almost felt like big brother holding little brother, you know, by the head and just saying, yeah, keep trying. You're not getting close. But in those last 2 games, and yes, I know that the Monday night game was meant nothing except to get Pekka Rinne another shutout, another victory, and possibly send him off into his future. Wonderful night. But that Saturday night game, everything was on the line at that point. And yeah, Carolina still thought they might have a shot at the President's Trophy that night. And the Predators came out and just, you know, shut the door. You know, that was a huge 3-1 win, and it felt that was the way that John Hines wants the Predators to play. And then that Monday night, boy, there's a lot of push and shoving, you know. There's a lot of chippiness in that game for a game that really meant nothing, but it meant everything because they were trying to set the tone for what's to come. Because it's so unique to this team, these teams could potentially play 9 straight games. If this goes 7, 9 straight games against each other. And one thing we hear every year in the playoffs is about, you know, you start getting that hate build up when you see each other. They got a head start on it.
Yeah, no question about it. Teresa Walker is our guest, Associated Press. Why don't we switch gears, talk a little Titans, rookie minicamp. You're doing the gear shift
thing. I'm shifting over here.
Yeah, he's doing the gear shift gimmick. You were there. What did you see from the rookies? I know not a whole lot to glean from them. They weren't really going full go out there. But what'd you see, what you like, and what can you tell us about the Titans rooks?
They were there. That is a very good thing for them to have done that. I'm sorry, I clicked on a page. I hate the automatic playing videos. You know, let's
yes.
stop that. But, you know, they were there. I'll say this. Des Fitzpatrick, it was nice to see him in that individual drill. I mean, think about this. They were working on, you know, going, you know, dealing with a defender and zone. And, you know, so they catch a ball. You've got somebody, you know, waving that pad in their face. And then you got to catch the ball, turn around, and then, oh, yeah, stiff arm a medicine ball. I was joking with Tommy Dees. He said, well, he didn't catch it. And it's like, no, he's working on his Derrick Henry stiff arm. And it's like, yes, it's not in the world of Derrick Henry stiff arms, I know. But for a wide receiver, that was an interesting drill to watch him work through. And then watching Rashad Weaver. You know, I know we know his name for, you know, this incident that, you know, that he's facing a charge with in Pittsburgh, you know, that filed the day before they drafted him. But, you know, watching him, he's a tall guy. He's kind of a skinny guy, which is a little strange to say for a 6'4 dude, but, you know, watching him work with Mike Vrabel and, you know, getting that line and getting down into the stance a little bit and coming through with straight arms, that was definitely fun to see. But it was just weird. There was one defensive lineman, Naquan Jones, got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I saw him all by himself on the blocking sled there. Was that him? He was like all by himself.
I know, and that's what was weird. They couldn't do any 11-on-11, so they did some, you know, they did some 7-on-7 stuff and where they could. But, you know, because, you know, they had a rookie minicamp, which is a huge step ahead of where they were last year. You know, they've got those kids in there for 3 days of practices. They get them this week, you know, and they're working, and they won't join in with any veterans that are coming to work until a week from. Yeah, today's the 17th, right? I'm losing track of time. But a week from today, because Vrabel wants to have these rookies kind of get their feet under them before he throws them into the deeper end of the pool. And, you know, the best thing, you know, Caleb Farley, you know, yes, he wasn't on the field. We probably won't see him until training camp, hopefully. But this is a kid who talked to us Saturday, and, you know, he's eager. He's trying to soak up that defensive playbook scheme and just getting up to speed on what they're wanting him to do once he's physically cleared and he's doing all the rehab that he can to be ready for that moment.
Teresa Walker with us on the F&M Bank phone line. Teresa, your alma mater's baseball team has, I don't even know if they've ever been on my radar this late, going into the last week of the regular season SEC, the SEC tournament next week. They have a half game lead over Vanderbilt. They've got to go to South Carolina for three. Vandy at home with Kentucky. A little bit of tit for tat with Dave Van Horn, who used to be, Vitello's boss and really was instrumental in Vitello getting a job, got into a little PP match after the game. But it's a baseball school. That's what I'm wanting to say. Yeah. UT, it's a baseball school.
Well, absolutely. They're fourth. I mean, that win on Saturday was huge, and yesterday was, I mean, all three games mm-hmm. were just so much fun and to watch. It would have been nice if they'd been on, you know, national TV to watch them better. But, yeah, incredibly fun to watch. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, it would have been nice for them to have won that series, you know, hand Arkansas their first loss in SEC play in a series this year. But you know what? It's a learning experience as they get ready for, you know, the tournament. And they're among the 20 teams who are on the finalists to host the regional. And shoot, I'm curious to see if they end up getting a super regional. You know, right now they're atop the East. I mean, that's just kind of stunning, you know, especially with Vanderbilt. You know, I penciled in Vanderbilt to, you know, to win the SEC again. And, you know, but they've had, you know, they've had a few issues with timely hitting and, you know, shoot, Rocker lost on Friday, which, you know, that's just kind of surprising in and of itself. So, it's fun. And they had a packed, Lindsey Nelson Stadium was absolutely packed. They had Peyton throwing out the first pitch on Friday. I mean, you know, a little taste of what, when a team is winning, how energizing the crowd can be. You know, hopefully Josh Heupel is taking some notes.
Yeah, that's a fan base star in a lot of ways for this kind of success.
And they're into it. Give them credit. Yeah, you know. They've gotten on board.
So, and now they just need to keep Vitello, which...
good luck with that.
Yeah. Texas A&M's on the phone. Yeah. So, anyway, Teresa, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Monday. Wow, we will be, through four games of the playoffs by then. So with the Preds and the
We'll have a good idea how this series is shaping up, so we look forward to that.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, T.
Thanks, guys.